A former actor and broadcaster, Ronald Reagan served two terms as governor of California before being elected to the first of two terms as president of the United States in 1980. The so-called Reagan Revolution transformed American politics. Its leader is regarded as perhaps the most influential politician of his generation. We have a report on the life of Ronald Reagan from NPR's Neil Conan.
Growing up in the little town America of Dixon, Illinois, during the Great Depression, Ronald Reagan was interested in sports and acting. At Eureka College, he was a football player noted more for determination than skill, and the genial self-assurance he developed as an actor helped him land a job as a radio announcer in Des Moines after graduation. But Reagan soon found fame in another medium. In Hollywood, Reagan's football experience helped him land the role that launched his career. He played doomed running back George Gipp in the biography of Notre Dame football coach Newt Rockne.
Rock, someday when the team's up against it, breaks are beating the boys, ask them to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Gipper. I don't know where I'll be then, but I'll know about it. I'll be happy.
That celebrated death scene became part of the Reagan legend, but probably his best movie was the drama King's Row. He played a charming young man who awakes after an accident to find that his legs have been amputated.
Randy! 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 Where's the rest of me?
That line was so well remembered that Reagan used it as the title of an autobiography he wrote in 1965. But King's Row was the highlight. After the Second World War, his film career fading, he was elected president of the Screen Actors Guild. He also remarried. His new wife, Nancy Davis, and her well-connected father opened broader political horizons, and he found a new role on television.
For General Electric, here is Ronald Reagan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight it is my pleasure to appear with Cloris Leachman on the General Electric Theater.
In 1954, Ronald Reagan was hired by General Electric as both a performer and as a spokesman. While GE Theater brought him into millions of American homes every week, the other part of the job seemed designed for a politician in training. Reagan made speeches at dinners and before groups of factory workers, addresses that became increasingly political over time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting a thoughtful address by Ronald Reagan, Mr. Reagan.
In October 1964, a man most would have then identified as a Hollywood has-been endorsed conservative Barry Goldwater for president. In a speech remarkably like those he later made as president, Ronald Reagan set out the agenda that would carry him to the White House 16 years later. Here he is on taxes.
No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third of its national income. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned.
On the Cold War?
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war...
And on an increasingly intrusive federal government.
This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
Ronald Reagan was the first to admit that his cadences were drawn from the voice of his political idol, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the man whose legacy he would challenge. Just 2 years after his well-received speech on behalf of Barry Goldwater, he was elected governor of California as a conservative and proceeded to re-energize the right wing of the Republican Party. He mounted a spirited challenge for the nomination for president in 1976, and 4 years after that, the conservative fervor that he liked to call a prairie fire made him the front runner. He was upset in the Iowa caucuses by moderate George Bush, though. When the campaign moved on to New Hampshire, Reagan arranged an all-comers debate, which Bush and moderator John Green thought was supposed to be between the two leaders alone.
If we may have the first question for Mr. Bush, Governor Reagan, would the sound man please turn Mr. Reagan's mic off for the moment? turn that microphone off, please?
I'm paid for this microphone.
Reagan won the New Hampshire primary and the nomination. That fall, he ran against President Jimmy Carter, who was saddled with soaring inflation and high interest rates, weaknesses that Reagan drove home with a devastating question to the electorate.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier for you to go and buy things in the stores?
After sweeping to victory, the new president declared the Reagan Revolution.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Reagan pushed big tax cuts and big defense increases through Congress, a combination that triggered spiraling federal deficits. The economy continued to struggle, and Reagan's popularity sagged. Then a disturbed young man named John Hinckley decided to assassinate the President of the United States. Hinckley opened fire as the presidential party emerged from a Washington hotel, wounding a Secret Service agent, Press Secretary Jim Brady, and President Reagan.
I want to repeat that the President is in stable condition. He has been shot once. He is conscious. That's the extent of what I can say at this time.
The president's popularity surged as Americans rallied behind him. The economy began to recover, too, and then took off in one of the longest booms in history. In foreign affairs, the record is more mixed. Under Ronald Reagan, the United States punished Libya for terrorist attacks on Americans overseas, but an intervention in Lebanon proved disastrous. 241 American servicemen were killed by a suicide bomber in 1983, and Americans living in Beirut were kidnapped and held hostage by shadowy Islamic groups. The low point of the Reagan presidency stemmed from his decision to ransom those hostages with secret arms shipments to Iran. A questionable policy then became scandal after profits from those arms deals were illegally funneled to right-wing guerrillas in Nicaragua known as the Contras. Amid congressional and criminal investigations, several senior officials were forced to leave office and some were convicted. In the end, the Iran-Contra scandal diminished the Reagan presidency, but did not destroy it. There was one overarching issue for Ronald Reagan, Soviet communism, which he described as the focus of evil in the world. Here, in 1982, he attacks the idea that the two superpowers were morally equal.
To ignore the facts of history and the aggressive impulses of an evil empire, to simply call the arms race a giant misunderstanding, and thereby remove yourself from the struggle between right and wrong, and good and evil.
While he engaged Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev in a series of superpower summits that led to important arms control agreements, President Reagan directed the largest arms buildup in history, and he never passed up the opportunity to denounce the Soviet system he detested. Here, in 1987, he issued what proved to be an unanswerable challenge in the heart of a divided Berlin.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
2 years later, the people of Berlin tore down the wall themselves, leading the way to the eventual collapse of the Soviet Union itself. In 1994, Ronald Reagan performed one last public service. In a shaky, handwritten letter, he announced that he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. He hoped his disclosure would increase understanding of the illness. The letter also said that he would make no more public appearances and would spend the remainder of his life in privacy. This is Neil Conan in Washington.